Welcome to the Randy Selzer Real Estate Podcast, where we discuss important topics for buyers, sellers, and investors in the Toronto area real estate market. Here's your host, Randy Selzer.
Hello, everybody. It's Randy Selzer here. Welcome back to my YouTube channel and welcome back to the podcast. Today, once again, we have a very special guest. Denise Bassani is back with us again today. She's a very well-known mortgage broker in the city of Mississauga. She's affiliated with two companies, one called Mortgage Center Canada, and she has her own company called Mortgage in the City. Welcome back, Denise. Nice to see you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm back again.
Well, it's great.
We're back at it, Randy. We're back at it.
Great to see you. I know a lot of people look forward to seeing you. So today, we talked a little bit earlier this week about what we were going to chat about today. And I think the main topic is going to be these trigger rates and the letters that have come out from the Canadian banks to existing mortgage, variable rate mortgage holders, variable rate mortgage holders. But before we get into that, just a little bit of background. First of all, we're recording this in November of 2022. And it just snowed the last couple of days. So winter's here. It's been an interesting year. We had this huge pivot in the real estate market. We started out gangbusters in January and February, the way we have been for the past several years. Mm-hmm. Then the Bank of Canada started to raise interest rates, and they've raised them several times throughout 2022. I think at the beginning of the year, their overnight rate was like 0.25%. And now we are currently sitting at 3.75% with another Bank of Canada rate meeting coming up in early December, where they may raise them yet again. So this has created huge effects in the real estate industry, in the mortgage industry. And that's sort of the background that we're within right now.
Right.
We're going to talk about mortgages today. I thought before we get into this trigger rate thing, which is a very much a hot topic right now, a lot of people on the podcast, a lot of people on the YouTube channel may not have ever gotten a mortgage before. They may just be, you know, they know what a mortgage is, but they're not, they've heard of different terms. But I thought you, Denise, being the expert that you are, I'm wondering if you could explain a little bit. There's two basic kinds of mortgages in the market today. One is called a fixed rate mortgage and one is called a variable rate mortgage. Could you explain the difference for the benefit of our listeners, between the two?
Yeah. So just what it is, a fixed rate mortgage basically is you've got terms. You've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There are 7-year terms and 10-year term. So what that means is for that specific term, you are offered a rate and that rate is fixed for that length of that term. So if the most popular, of course, is a 5-year fixed term and you would be locked in for five full years, 60 months at the contract rate, at whatever rate you signed for. So for example, today, a fixed rate on a high ratio mortgage, I just noticed, I'm getting some emails from lenders. Mm-hmm. They've just reduced the 5-year fixed rate to 5.19. So for 5 full years, the client will be guaranteed 5.19. Even if the rates go up or if the rates come down,
they're locked in
for that 5.19. Okay. So it could benefit, or you could be kind of, oh, why did I do this? Lock in for 5 years. But if you are the type of client where you're comfortable knowing that your payments are going to be set for 5 full years, 60 months at a certain rate and a certain payment, and fixed is the way to go for you.
So you know exactly what your payments are going to be for 60 months.
Exactly.
You don't have to worry about changes. Okay. That makes sense.
You can't come out of that mortgage. You are locked in. It's a contract. It's just like the bank coming to you after 3 years saying, we don't want you to have this mortgage anymore when the rates are 8%. They can't do that. Your rate is locked in for that full term. Okay. If you break the contract, you're going to have hefty fees to pay. There's penalties. So you're in that contract for 5 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the fixed rate mortgage, which is one of the two types of basic mortgages in Canada. And I will say in Canada here, if there's any Americans listening to this, your system is a little different than ours. We're not going to get into that. But in Canada, we have terms for interest rates. In the U.S., it's like a 30-year term. But here we renew them every 5 or 7 years.
We have terms. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Right.
7 and 10. Those are your terms in Canada.
Okay. So that's a fixed rate mortgage.
Right.
What's a variable rate mortgage?
So a variable mortgage has been very, very popular the last 5, 7, 10 years, maybe. Yes. Because the rates were so, so low, you could get a variable rate at 1.5. I've seen even lower than that.
Yes.
So variable rates, now how that works is it's variable. The rates go up and down with the economy. And of course, we've had a pretty steady economy for the last 5 to 10 years, right. But in the last 6 months, it's been very volatile. So this is where variables not as popular anymore, but still somewhat popular. But in a variable term mortgage, there are two terms. You can get a 3-year and a 5-year variable, meaning within those 3 years or 5 years, your rate fluctuates up and down with prime, not with the fixed rates, but with prime. Bank of Canada sets dates for them to meet and figure out whether they're increasing or decreasing Bank of Canada.
Right.
And in the last 6 months, it's gone up 6 times. We've increased prime 6 times. So in this case, yeah, it wasn't in people's favor. But for the past, like if you look at historical numbers in variable, it's always been the way to go. But in a variable term mortgage, your interest rate will fluctuate up and down depending on what the market calls for. And then that'll bring us to two types of variable mortgages.
Okay, we're gonna get into that. Yes,
I'll let you just go on with that one. So I'll take it back to you here.
I just want to confirm that you are so right that over the past 5 years, variable rate mortgages have come out the winner. Absolutely,
always,
every time. Mm-hmm. Anybody who went with variable rate mortgage did really well compared to the fixed rate.
Yes.
Okay. So yes. So there's the two basic types: fixed rate mortgages and variable rate mortgages. However, as you just mentioned, there are actually two types of variable rate mortgages. So there's the two basic types, fixed rate, variable, but there's also two different types of variable rate mortgages. And this is where a lot of people until recently, for sure, didn't really understand. So can you explain the two different types? I know one of them is called adjustable rate mortgages.
Yeah. And so it's ARM. Yeah. So
that's
just like it sounds, it's adjustable, meaning that if someone today takes a 5-year variable adjusted rate mortgage, ARM, what will happen is they're going to close. The rate's going to be, for example, 545 variable. Their payments are going to be set at $2,500 per month. But just say a month passes by, Bank of Canada's meeting December 7th. We do know from what we've been hearing that they're going to go up probably another 0.5 point, maybe 3/4. But they're saying it's hoping to be the last rate increase.
Yeah.
This year, obviously, it's December, but they're saying there shouldn't be any more in 2023 and hopefully going to start heading down again. But of course, famous words that we've been hearing, don't have a crystal ball. We don't really know what's going to happen.
Right.
But for example, if someone were to take a mortgage today and close today, and the rate is 545 today, and their payments are $2,500 today, next month, prime goes up 0.5 point. So instead of 545, your new rate is 0.5 point more, 595.
Right.
Well, that $2,500 payment in an adjustable rate mortgage, an ARM, will go up. So that difference of 0.5 point is going to be tacked onto your payment. So for example, your new payment's going to be $2,650 instead of $2,500. Depending on the mortgage amount, we'd have to calculate it. But your payment does go up and down with prime.
Right.
So exactly what it is, adjustable rate mortgage, your mortgage payment will adjust because you want the proper interest to be coming off your mortgage.
Right. Okay.
Most of the time.
That's one of the two types of adjustable rate mortgages.
Right.
One of the two types of variable rate mortgage is the adjustable rate mortgage where the payment changes. It can go up, but it can also go down. If rates went down, then your payment would be reduced. And I know some of the banks offer these adjustable rate mortgages, these ARMs, but not everyone. Some of them offer them of the big banks.
Well, it's more of them offer this type of mortgage, their adjustable rate mortgage.
Okay.
Less offer the fixed.
Okay.
Variable mortgage payment.
Okay. So this brings us to the second type of variable rate mortgage. Okay. The first one is the adjustable one that changes when the rates go up, the payments go up. When the rates go down, the payments go down, which is great. It's very efficient, but it also means that your monthly payment could change every month, depending on or every other month when the rates change. Now, there is the second type of variable rate mortgage. And this is the one that has caused a lot of controversy, I guess we could say, over the past 2 or 3 months. Mm-hmm. And that is a variable rate mortgage, but it's with a fixed payment. Okay. So, and please explain this one because I still have trouble wrapping my head.
This one's the VIRM. So variable interest rate mortgage, it's fixed. Okay. So what happens is just like it is, it's fixed. So again, we'll use that example. You close this month.
Right.
The rate is 545. Your payment is $2,500.
Right.
December 7th, Bank of Canada decides to increase prime. All the banks follow. Prime is now $595. But guess what? Your payment still remains at $2,500 per month.
But
your interest rate changed. Your interest rate did go up the half a point. So it's now $595. But your payments still remain the same at $2,500 per month. So what happens? It adjusts internally. So in what you had splitting before will now less will go towards principal because more is going towards interest now. So that's how that mortgage works.
Okay. I was just going to say, so
it adjusts within your actual mortgage rather than you having to come up with that difference, which everyone loved. And no one really took note because of the fact that in the last 5 years, prime really hasn't changed.
Right. Exactly.
So no one really, it didn't really matter. Everybody was paying the same amount of payments every month. Right. Everyone was reducing their mortgage quite a bit because of the fact that the interest rates were so low, 1.5%. But now, 6 times going up, guess what?
Okay.
We're not taking enough money for your mortgage payment anymore, which
here
brings
we
us
go.
To
the trigger rate. Okay. Before though, let's just back up a little bit again for my benefit, because sometimes I have to hear these things a few times before it finally sinks
in. Yeah, no worries.
So you got a fixed payment, or actually any mortgage payment is a blend. A part of it is paying down the mortgage loan, the principal, and a part of it is the interest that the bank charges you for that loan. Right. So part of it's going to principal, part of it's going to interest. And this in the mortgage world, this is complicated stuff because every single payment is slightly different. That blend or that ratio between principal and interest changes on a monthly basis. My understanding
on any
mortgage,
because your payment your balance, principal balance reduces every month. Right. So,
Okay. Now, with these latest, with the second type of variable rate mortgage, which is the VRM, you called it, the variable rate mortgage with a fixed payment. Again, you have that blend that's built in there, so where part of it is going to principal, part of it is going to interest. But with these rapid rise in interest rates, you can get to a point where it's all interest. All you're paying is interest because, or even worse than that, maybe your payment this month doesn't cover all the interest that was charged for last month, where you're actually in a negative situation where your loan amount is increasing. Is that possible? Where your actual loan balance could go up because you didn't cover the full amount of interest the previous month. So that's where we get into this big thing that people are talking about called the trigger rate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and I know you know all this stuff. Okay. Trigger rates have been around for a while, but they were in the fine print of the mortgage paperwork that you signed with any lender.
Exactly.
And like you just said a minute ago, it was never really an issue because in order to get triggered, there would have to be massive raises in interest rates, a massive rise in interest rates. But that's what happened this year. So we've had this massive rise. So now we get to the point where the banks are looking at their balance sheet and they're saying, wait a minute, this person who's paying $2,500 a month on their mortgage right now, because of all the raise in interest rates, all they're paying is interest. Or worse, they're getting behind because the interest rate the previous month was larger than 2,500.
Mm-hmm.
So I know this started, I think it was in September, was it? Where the banks started looking at their balance sheets and saying, wait a minute, we're not.
Well, actually, people were triggered as of August. So they their letters probably July.
Okay.
And then they from what I was told from one of the lenders out there that everyone got their letters in August.
Okay.
So
okay.
Probably the payments were effective September.
Okay. So, and also my understanding, and again, I'm going to ask you to go on about this because you know way more than I do. These letters, I believe they're alerting the people to the fact that something has to be done.
Yeah. Right?
But there
have
are
a few options. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So what are the options that people can do if they get this trigger letter that comes in the mail that's saying we got to do something here?
Yeah. So obviously the trigger rate is a point in your mortgage payment where we're not taking any interest and any principal and right. all of it is going towards interest.
Right.
And you need to be making the bank right. wants you to be paying your mortgage down. So if that's not happening anymore, that's when this trigger gets alerted.
Okay.
So a letter goes out to you, letting you know you have a few options. You can put a lump sum payment down mm-hmm. towards the mortgage.
Okay.
And which will be like a catch up. And that can probably help with respect to your monthly installments to bring it down or to keep it at a decent amount that's comfortable for you.
Right.
But it's hard. A lot of people don't have $30,000-$40,000 to throw against their mortgage. Like, I don't, like, who has that much money to put towards a mortgage?
You don't. Then, come on, Denise. Come on. Yeah.
Or you've got a choice of refinancing.
Right.
Which could increase your amortization. So if your amortization is sitting at 20 years or 15 years, mm-hmm. it wouldn't be the best scenario, but if it's the only type of scenario that's going to benefit you right now, rather than increasing your payments.
Okay.
Then you can always refinance and increase the amortization to lower the payments again.
So a longer time to pay it off. You're going to pay more interest, but your payments will go down.
Right. But this is just until the mortgage rates come down again. And then maybe when they do come down, you can lock into something more comfortable.
Okay.
Right. Or you can just increase your payment to what it really should be. So if you were paying 2% before mm-hmm. and now your payments should be at 5.5%, mm-hmm. that's almost double.
Yep.
So this is where it's been tough for a lot of people, I'm sure. Right. Yep. Because, you know, a variable mortgage, like just because the payments were at 1.5%, really people should have been trying to budget a little bit. Because don't forget, we did qualify everybody at 5.25%.
I was just going to say
the stress test rate.
Right.
So when you get these calls saying, I can't afford these payments, well, we did work out your payments based on 5.25% at the time you purchased
right.
or refinanced or did whatever. So you did technically qualify to carry the payments at 5.25%. So, but unless something's changed and the person went out and bought a new car or bought another house or
right.
they bought a cottage, well, yeah, you bought all of that, but you didn't factor in if the rates did maybe go up at one point
right.
and you were still, you know, looking at your payments at 2%. Well, that's not here anymore. That's long gone. Mm. And I don't think the rates are ever going back down to 1.5%, 2%. That's over and done with.
I think you're right.
It's going to be, they're going to hover around 4-4.5%. And that's what the rate, that's the new reality. That's what the rates right. are going to be, 4-4.5%.
Well, I think we may have mentioned this in past podcasts that my first mortgage, my first house that I bought, which was in 1991, my mortgage was 14.5%. And I thought I had
wow.
a good deal because rates had gone up to 22% back in 1982. And, you know, there have been some historical things that happened where rates just went way through the roof. I'm not saying that's going to happen today. But it's a very interesting thing. So what you said then, okay, there's about three things that people can do. They can make a lump sum payment to bring them up to where they should be, but mm-hmm. it would be potentially a fairly large amount of money.
They can extend
the amortization. So basically you're refinancing out instead of, you know, maybe you're 5 years in, you might have, let's say you're 10 years in, you have 15 years to go, but you can re-amortize that out to another 25 or 30 years.
Yeah, you can add another 5 years back on.
Right.
Again, this can be temporary. And then when the rates drop,
right,
maybe lock in,
right,
and reduce the amortization again accordingly. But if this is something like, if the payments are way too tight right now and you need a little bit of a break,
right,
it's an option.
Right. And the third one is you can bite the bullet and just increase your payments. And again, I guess if you get a letter from your bank, you would have to go speak to their loan officer or speak to your mortgage broker to figure out what is the best solution.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And I guess they could also lock into a fixed rate at this point. That's another thing.
Yeah, but they could, but you know, a lot of people miss the boat for that. Like if maybe you would, but who knew what was going to happen? Like
nobody,
people to lock in when the first jump happened,
yep,
you would have been locking in at maybe 3%. And
right,
and a lot of people I spoke to, they're like, oh my gosh, that's high. I'd still rather keep paying my 2.5 or 2 that I'm paying. But
right,
who knew that the rates were going to 5.5% and prime, like right now prime is 5.5 and the fixed rates are 5.5. It's the same.
That's very interesting.
What do? Do you play it out and hope for the best that the rates start to come down?
Well,
or do you just lock in and bite the bullet at 5.5 and just lock in? Well,
right,
a lot of customers are doing that too because they're worried that it's going to go to 7. Like no one knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's, you're so right. I mean, it's been a weird year. Let's face it. It's been a very strange. I've never seen rates go up this fast in a single year.
It hasn't. It's true. That for sure, which I've heard from a lot of people.
Yep.
For the 6 times in a row like that, that's huge. But we have to get inflation down.
Well, so, I think we were at 9% at the beginning of the year, inflation-wise. And now the last I heard, I think it was 6.9. So it has come down a bit. It has rolled over a little bit.
I think it must have gone up for the fixed rates to be coming down a little bit.
Because,
so that's news to me. I just got this sent to me this morning.
Okay.
So one of my lenders just reduced 0.10. It's not huge.
But it's something. But
it's 0.10, right? So if the fixed rates come below 5 in the 4s, I think that's pretty good.
Not bad.
To lock into something if you really wanted to and
right,
forget about the variable. But everyone I talk to too, they're like, they're just going to play it out and see what happens with the variable.
For the people listening in today, nobody has a crystal ball. Nobody knows. I don't even think the Bank of Canada is quite sure exactly where we're headed next year. I did read something recently on the internet that looked at past rate increases and where they went way up. And it found, because people say, well, they're going to start going down in 2023 right away. No, not likely, because historically it shows that they'll reach a plateau and then they'll sit there for 6 to 8 months. Now, again, this is just data that somebody posted on Twitter. But so it's going to be flat for a while. It may not go up anymore, but it could stay flat for 6 months. So we're looking at next summer, maybe before the rates.
Yeah, they're saying mid 2023, late 2024, that we'll see like a decrease starting to happen.
Oh, so it could be at least a year, at least a year.
Well, I'm hoping mid.
Yeah,
so let's just, like the rates did, like I personally think, Randy, and we can hop on here in 6 months again, I think rates will probably drop.
I hope you're right.
The spring market, just to get the ball rolling.
Denise, I hope you're right.
Yeah. So that's what I think anyway.
The other thing that people should keep in mind is that this is all taking place. All this interest, all the problems are the drop in real estate that we've seen, both in activity and prices. This is all interest rate driven. The underlying reality is that we are still in this huge shortage of housing, certainly in the Greater Toronto Area and in Vancouver, the big Canadian cities, due to immigration and other problems. There's still a huge shortage. In fact, right now, there's a shortage of listings. I mean, it's just a lot of people have just decided to hold off because they're going to see what happens in the new year in terms of prices. But I mean, I just read the other day that Trudeau has announced, the federal government has announced that they're increasing immigration into Canada this year. They had over 400,000 people plus Ukrainian refugees. So it's actually over 400,000 because that's a separate category. In 2023, they're saying 450,000 people will be let into Canada. And in 2024, they are projecting 500,000 people admitted to Canada. So there, it's just like a train that just keeps on running. Mm-hmm. All these, and well, God bless them, you know, welcome to all immigrants. But it's a big country. There's plenty of room. But in these big cities, and even in some of the medium-sized cities, we're running out of housing. Like we don't have enough places to house all these people. Another thing that's happening right now, I know for sure, is that a number of builders have held off with condo launches because the market's a little bit soft, prices are down, and they're not canceling them. And certainly anything that's under construction is going to get built because they're pretty much sold out. So that's good. But what you're going to find is a delayed effect during this slowdown. Some of these big builders saying, you know what, let's wait till next year before we launch, because we're going to have more chances of success if we do. And what that means is we're going to have a smaller amount of closings 3 years from now when the condos are supposed to be finished, because there's this pause in the new development market. And that's also going to affect us. So this is all going on underneath the mortgage, you know, numbers that are out there, that we have an historic shortage of housing. And we've got a possible, not a freeze, but a slowdown in new construction and huge immigration coming in relentlessly all the time.
Yeah.
And so, you know, some people are, I've talked to people that you know, they're originally going to move to Toronto, but they've moved out to Alberta because it's cheaper and they think they have a better chance of making it, because let's face it, it's really expensive to live here in the GTA.
Mm-hmm. No, I know. It's shocking to me how many people are going to be moving into Canada in the next few years.
Yeah, it is. It's like there's a disconnect there. Like, wait a minute, we don't have anywhere to put these people.
Yeah,
keep letting them in. But let's be fair here, you know, and I'm pro-immigration. I've said this many times. At any rate, so here we are. So these trigger rate letters have come out, and I'm assuming, I haven't read an actual letter, but I've seen them post, some of them posted online. It's not optional, like it's mandatory. If you get that letter, you must choose to do one of these things. What happens if you don't respond? Is the bank just going to do it for you?
They'll just increase your payment.
That's what I figure.
Yeah, it's right. Best to just reach out to them and just try to figure a solution.
Right.
Because they don't want you to lose your home. They're going to figure it out. So they're going to work with, they're working with people to try to make it better. I asked my lender the other day, because I was just curious. And I said to her, has anyone been in trouble? Like where they're going to have to sell or move? And she said, we pretty much try to work with every client.
That's good.
So I wouldn't ignore it. Don't ignore the letter. Just try to figure it out and try to work with the lender to make it work.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Yeah.
So there you go, folks. If you get this trigger letter, it's because you've reached the trigger rate where in your fixed payment variable rate mortgage, all you're paying now is interest because of the rise in interest rates. And the banks are saying, hey, you've got to do something here because you're not paying down your loan at all. It's all interest only. And in fact, I also read just recently where they're actually negative, where you didn't cover the interest from last month with your current payment.
No, I've seen amortizations go up to 30, 40, 50 years.
Wow.
Because of this, not enough money going towards the interest. It gets the principal. They just increase the amortization. And I've seen 40 year amortizations.
Wow. Well, we're living in interesting times. I can tell you that much. I also believe let's not get all doom and gloom, because we also know that real estate is, you know, one of the fundamental parts of the Canadian economy, and everybody loves to have their own home and their own condo or whatever. And, you know, things are not that bad. Like you were saying a minute ago, if we can get rates under 5%, even just slightly under 5%, that's really not that bad.
That's really good. Like
it is
4.5% to borrow money.
Right.
Like we were really spoiled at 1.5% and 2%. Like that's not a healthy economy. A healthy economy is between 4% and 4.5%. And that's exactly where they're heading.
So that's where we should be. Really is.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, thank you, Denise. As always, it's delightful to have you on here. I know we're going to all be watching the Bank of Canada on December the 7th, I think is their next meeting. So I think it's pretty likely that there's going to be an increase on that day as well. And then hopefully what you just said is correct, that, you know, that might be it for a while. And hopefully we'll see some reduction in rates coming in next year, in the new year at some point. In the meantime,
we have to hunker down
Watch your spending, folks. Don't go out and buy a new boat or a new cottage or something that you don't really need. It's a good time to just keep the powder dry. Make sure you make your mortgage payments. And if you need any help with mortgages, I urge you to call Denise. She's well known in Mississauga, not just Mississauga, but the in the entire western end of the GTA. And again,
Randy.
You're very welcome.
I've known you for 20, at least 20 years now.
I know. How did that happen? I think you were a young girl when I first met you.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, I was only two.
Yeah, right. That's back in my Remax days when you had an office in a Remax
office.
Yep.
That's awesome. Well, thanks, Randy, for having me again.
Anytime. You're more than welcome. You're welcome to come back anytime. So have a great day. Okay. And we'll talk again soon.
Take care.
Bye now. Bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode, the Randy Selzer Real Estate Podcast. Follow us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. And check out our main website at randyselzer.com for much more valuable info on the Canadian real estate scene.